I'm just saying.
Yeah. Point, who doesn't have silver pants?
That's true. You're such a jerk. We made friends with the silver. Wait a minute. We made friends with the silver pantsers. Don't forget. All right.
There's like friends. A few others.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, boys. There you go, Davey.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you could get so many mediocre people in one room.
You're welcome, fellas. Hey, damn, people have a reason to watch this show.
All right.
Yo, what is going on?
Yeah, no. We heard y'all talking about the show this weekend, boys. Not the weekend, but July, right?
No. Stop. Before we do anything else, congratulations, boys. You actually won one. You actually brought something home. I heard you brought a little gold home.
Man, them JCW titles.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But guess what? Guess what you don't have?
Sean. Look at him. Look at him. That's what you don't have. Those are the titles that matter to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at man, let me get this one off the floor.
Yeah, look at
Chris.
Look at how pretty.
Woo! Oh man, both of them. So what's up now, boys? What are they worth to you? Huh? Three stages of the death? What are they worth to you?
Why don't you put them all on the line?
Yeah, why it gotta be just us?
Yeah.
Why we gotta risk just all gold?
What?
What's it matter to you, huh, boys?
You can carry JCW. What are you talking about? Why don't you put those titles that you got around your waist right now?
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Spocast. Guys, I had to immediately start with that. You had to see what happened last week. If you weren't here, if you missed it. But anyway, we have a lot to talk about. Speaking of if you weren't here, Donnie B is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
The crowd goes wild.
Great. Yeah, the crowd goes mild. Good to be back. It was a nice vacation last week. Royal Caribbean Cruise. They treated us like royalty. No pun intended. It was awesome. Great time away with the family. I highly suggest it when you can do it, especially if you have little kids. You only get so many of these. But it's great to be back. I just saw that interview with the rep. I had heard about it actually when I was away that they interrupted the show. That's not cool. I'm a big fan of the rep, but not the way they've been acting lately. So, to see about that, but it's good to be back.
Well, great to have you back, Donnie. And we are still in a season of death. You see, I am shrouded. It's all starting to come to a head, and we have a lot of announcements tonight. So let's start getting some peeps up in here. Tommy, what's up, brother? How was your weekend? What up?
Everything was all good, man. Tommy Grayson in the house. Whoop, whoop.
Love it. Let's get Prezodent. What a background. Spo Wrestling logo. Love it. What's up, Prez?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. I gave you the old Larry Zbysko.
I like that.
You know it, brother. And let's get the last guy in here. JP Grayson. What's up, brother?
Damn.
Sound effects and everything. Spectacular, deafening pop, says I hate artists. What's up, everybody? Tons of people in the house right now. We got Eddie Reyes. We got Tara. We got Danger Ginger. Steve Jordan. Pete Martin. Harold Pollock. You name it. We got them here. But guys, we have someone very special in the Instagram right now, and it goes with an announcement we're going to make right off the top. Are you guys ready for this? The OnlyFans Deathmatch has been upgraded. We've added value.
Mm-hmm.
Special guest Veronica Kane of She's Hardcore. It's at She's Hardcore on Instagram. She will be the very special guest. What will she be doing? Well, we're thinking maybe ring announce, but we're not sure yet. We're excited to have her. She does the She's Hardcore, so she'll also be there to assist the wrestlers in death matches to make sure if anything gets out of hand, we have her there. So, guys, I'm pretty excited about that. What do you all think?
What a surprise. Awesome, man.
Yep. BJ Drinks Beer says, I'm okay with this. Had a feeling you might be. That's over.
Yeah, man. She's legit. Well, you know, she is a registered nurse. So, you know, and she was recommended to us by Matt Tremont. So obviously she's legit and she's hardcore. So, you know, welcome to the team, Veronica. Happy to have you on board.
Happy to have you. And this, everyone, it is Simon Gotch week. We're going to have Simon Gotch here probably around 7:30-ish. We have plenty of business to tend to before that. Real quick, we got to get into some things, but before we do, I want to talk to Phil Stamper, the president, and I want to ask, how is the ACL, brother? How do you feel?
I'm feeling good, tired. I feel like all I want to do is take a nap all the time.
But I'm here. I don't know if you can see it with the
the
background screen. All braced up.
See a little bit of it.
All braced up, connected to an ice machine, doing PT four times a day. It's great.
Why do I feel like you're going to be hanging around the locker room on NF and Necessary looking for sympathy from Veronica Kane?
I mean, maybe the executive cabinet needs.
She's there for the death. She's for the deathmatch wrestlers.
Is she now, listen, home nurse. Yeah, I mean,
I was just going to say hello, nurse.
Yeah.
Yep. And Danger Ginger says, "Hope you're healing quickly, Phil."
Thank you, Ginger.
Yeah, but Phil, remember, you're the president. You're not Kevin Spacey, so be good. Just because he played the president,
I am the ultimate good guy.
You are the ultimate good guy. Tickets now on sale for UNF and Necessary July 13th. We have a couple things we have to add to the event. We're going to make those announcements in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, Donnie, the floor is yours. What do we do? What do these guys do about the rep? You know the predicament. We illustrated it last week.
We've been through it. I mean, years ago, we had teams step up and just, you know, there's a rivalry. There's two big dogs in the yard and you know, they got to fight it out, man. And I don't think this is going to be settled once and for all after this next event. This could be the kind of rivalry that follows each team for years.
It will be. But what I'm talking about is they want these guys to put the JCW titles on the line that they just won. And if the rep beats them and these guys lose these titles, we have to go on the tour and do the gathering without the belts. It doesn't mean the rep goes and shows up in our place. It means these guys show up and have to look at Violent J and say, oh, by the way, we don't have the titles.
You might have to ask that. You might have to ask the promoter and say, listen, if these championships are lost, are you booking the champions or are you booking you guys? You know what I mean? Remember years ago when Mike Tyson was supposed to be the special ref for a Saturday night's main event and he lost the title to Buster Douglas and he stepped in because contractually they contracted the heavyweight boxing champ of the world, which is Buster Douglas. So what I'm saying is, if these guys put the titles up and the rep wins them, I think the rep gets to go on that tour. That's just me. I don't know. You'd have to ask Violent J. I'm not the booker, but if I was the promoter and I had a team that were my champions and they lost the titles, I think I'd want the champions on my tour. Why would I have a tour and my champions aren't on it? They're home. That doesn't make any sense.
You're right.
I think the Graysons should do it. That's just me.
So the tour has to be on the line is what we're saying. It's not just the title. The tour itself has to be on the line. The winners go on the tour. But see, that doubles everything.
Yeah, it doubles it. Bro, metal sharpens metal. I mean, the Graysons, you know, we've put their flags on them. You and I, Johnny, a lot of others have too. If you want to walk around the cock of the walk, and you know, with your chest held high and saying you're one of the elite teams in the country, it's you got Clubber Lang knocking at your door saying, yo, we give us the shot. And that's exactly what the rep did. So, I mean, guys, it's totally your decision. I think you should do it. I think the tour should be on the line as well. That's a very prestigious tour. That's not like, you know, a hot dog and a handshake. That's a big deal. They're the third biggest touring company when you think about it for this summer and fall behind AEW and the WWE. TNA is doing good stuff and NWA is doing good stuff, but these guys have what? How many shows is it in a 6-month span? Was it 60 or something?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. That's a real tour, bro. A lot of money to be made, a lot of prestige, a lot of coverage, press. Phil, what do you think?
See, I never trust a plan that I think Dewey Donovan's behind. And so there's part of my brain that's like, he's up to something. They're all three of them are up to something. You know it. So I feel like there's something we're not seeing. There's something in the fine print that we need to make sure that's taken care of. But Donnie is right. At the end of the day, this is going to be your guys' call. And you have to own whatever that decision is going to be.
Yep. And guys, everyone wants to hear what you have to say, and we're going to make them wait. Don't say a word. Think about it. We'll get back to this in a minute. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Speaking of what Phil just said, that it looks like it's a mile away, a setup. Look at this match. The High Five sent this in. Number one contender, Sonny Kiss versus Pat Dynamite with guest ref Brandon Downey. Now, this is like three good guys, right? As you would say, like, why is this match happening? Pat already was named number one contender. So the whole match itself is unnecessary. So this past Sunday, BJ Drinks Beer and Danger Ginger did a very special review, preview and predictions show on their YouTube. And you can check it out. It's there. They did a wonderful job. And they mentioned on there that they spoke with Channing Decker. And Decker said that these two guys basically are the number one contender. by two guys, I mean, Brandon Downey is coming up as a young up and comer who's getting some clout. And he said he had Pat's back. Sonny is Sonny, major name, big star, good person. She's not going to put up with nonsense. The bottom line is it's almost like there's a target on this match. You know, the high fives coming out. You just don't know when or why. So we'll see what happens. It's interesting. I've never really seen a match promoted like this where the match itself isn't even the thing you're waiting for. It's like high five wants all three of them in the ring together is how it seems. So that's that. Anyway, great match nonetheless, yeah. You guys, right? Sonny versus Pat.
That's one of those under the radar matches. Like people will be talking about the next day and like don't even realize how good it could be until it actually happens.
Yeah. No, I definitely hope so. So we also announced some matches, you guys, real quick. We're going to show this. We announced the first ever Tiger Cage match. Check this out, everybody.
Oh my God. I am never gonna financially recover from this.
Cages are the bane of the existence for a creature like me. A free-spirited, free-willed animal cannot be bound by any man-made laws or statutes. The uncaged outlaw, Charlie Tiger, I showed you just exactly what I am when that sliveling bastard Griffin McCoy wheeled me out and paraded me around like a circus act. I broke out and I showed them what it means to be an unstoppable, ferocious predator. And listen, Griffin McCoy, he took the low way out to get the up on Charlie Tiger. But this ain't the last mauling you're gonna see in Superpowers of Wrestling, because you're gonna see the superpowers of the Astral Tiger spirit.
There you have it, everybody. Charlie Tiger versus Griffin McCoy. We are talking revenge here. This all started because Donnie B was the judge in Wrestler's Court. And now here we are down the line, and you got to lock your opponent in a cage and lock it in order to win. So thank you, Donnie. Yeah.
You're welcome. Hey, listen, don't commit the crime. That's all.
That's it.
You won't have a sentence passed on you.
That's it. So, guys, we talked about we're going to have Gotch on here in a little bit. Cool as hell. We're excited to have him on here, talk about some things. The thing with Gotch is, you know, when we knew we had to wrestle him at the ECW arena, I was afraid he was going to stretch me. I was like, yo, he's finally got a chance. Gotch is going to stretch me. Little did I know that the stretching had to happen in a hotel in Detroit.
Relax. Oh, God.
I'm sorry I got to twerk on you a little bit because our hand is about loosening up.
He's got to twerk on me a little bit. Donnie, I'm sorry you're made to witness this.
Legs up like you're doing a pike. One, two, three, drop the legs.
Oh!
The fuck was that, boys?
Who was filming that?
No one knows.
Good question.
But I will say, you started and you weren't even like a flat 180. Your feet were a little up, and then he had to stretch you out, and your feet were able to come back down, and he popped you.
He did. Yeah, he did. He's definitely popped me a bunch of times with his matches and stuff. I love his stuff. You guys know I'm a huge fan of his, so I'm excited to have him on here tonight. Vaudevillains are one of my favorite tag teams, period.
Bro,
when they came up to the main roster, yeah. I was so excited.
I thought they were awesome in NXT, the old-time vignettes. I want to ask him about that, whose idea, who produced those. I thought those were great. I'm a little different. When I see tag teams, I think to myself, would I have been a good fit with them, or what could I have done with them? No matter who it is, any tag team I ever see, I go, like, could I have been with them? Like, I was Johnny Atrana or whoever, but I would have fit in. Like, we would have thought of something, but I don't know. I love that act. I thought the Vaudevillains were great. I have no idea what happened on the main roster, how it went south, but I thought they were awesome, bro. I really did.
Yeah, I'm excited as hell. So, you guys, we announced a street fight. For Un-F and Necessary, everybody. So check this out, this little music video.
Well, streets in a carnival of sights to see. All the cheap thrill seekers, vendors and the dealers, they crowded around me. Have I been blind? Have I been lost inside myself and my own mind? Hypnotized, mesmerized by what my eyes have seen.
Oh, what the f-
if I have to sleep on your doorstep all night and day, just to keep you from walking away, let your friends laugh, even this I can stand, cause I wanna keep you any way I can. Ain't you proud of me, sweet dog?
Nope. Vaughn is not too proud to beg.
That was awesome.
Thank you, brother.
This is what I think separates you guys from everybody else right now. Currently, all these types of little things that you're doing, these promos, these videos, they're just so creative and fresh. I love it, bro. It's a little bit of guerrilla marketing and guerrilla filming, very gritty. It almost reminds me of very early, like Eastern Championship Wrestling or very beginning of ECW. Like Kevin Smith filming Clerks, you know, he just used what he had and filmed what was around him. Like, that's what I love about you guys. Like, you're taking chances, like the Dynamite match, the street fight, like all this stuff you guys are doing is so out of the box and fresh and creative. I just hope you guys continue it, man, because I know it's a lot of work. Listen, nobody knows more than me. Every week I was delivering my 3/4-inch tapes to TV in Monmouth and Ocean, but, I know it's a lot of work, but trust me, man, it pays off, dude, because people see that and they say, these guys are building something special, dude. It might not be tomorrow or next week or next month, but this will pay off, guys. I'm telling you, it's great.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, this is exciting, and a lot of people wanted Vaughn back. Vaughn's back by popular demand. Kurt Robinson wrestled TJ Epics in one of the hottest openers we've ever had in the company, so to have him back is wonderful. And like I said, Donnie, he's Rob Dimension's son. When I told that story about us destroying the building at Steve Corino's Pro Wrestling Premier Wrestling Fed, it was Kurt Robinson's dad that was playing tug of war with the Christmas tree with Trent Acid. So we go way back with Kurt, you know, and he's Philly born and bred. So to give him a shot like this, I think he's going to shine. And he's one of the better talkers out there, Donnie. Like, are you surprised he's in league with Corino and Dimension that he's a good talker?
No.
Right. Exactly. I'm not surprised either, to be honest.
Pardon, sir. It's the back phone.
Well, speaking of surprise,
happened a lot around here, which was a robbery. And if you can't tell in any town, in any company, in any business, not just wrestling, we are the men that do the robbing.
Jordan, you might have got up on me tonight. Next time I'm here, I'm gonna smoke you like a fat ass jet.
There it is. Blackout issues an open challenge, Robbie and Ruckus both. Wow. This is going to be good.
Open
very
challenge.
Very interesting. So there you go, guys. So Blackout, Robbie, they're coming with a vengeance. These are two guys that are synonymous with Philly. The Blackout brand, I'm so happy to have it in SPO Wrestling. I mean, these are, you know, talk about OGs. These are guys that never left. You know,
absolutely.
Me, Rick Blade, GQ, you know, all of us who are on this next show, you know, we all left. You know, Rick Blade, yeah, he's the man, and he's returning, and GQ is returning, and I've returned. But Ruckus and Robbie never left, man. They're diehard. They're like Homicide. Been going the whole time. So having the Blackout engine, if you will, in the SPO body, if we're using car references, that's as good an engine as the backseat engine, Donnie. It's right up there, if not, right?
It is, man. It is.
That's it. So we're lucky, and I wouldn't want to go into Philly without my brother Robbie, and I wouldn't want to go into Philly without Ruckus, because everyone in Philly knows Ruckus and knows what he's capable of. And dude's legit, man. Ruckus can go. We had nothing but good reviews of his match against Jordan Oliver. Now, Jordan Oliver's not going to be there on the 13th, but you can see where their head's at. You know, Ruckus is looking to make an impact, so this is going to be interesting to see what happens, for sure. That's and, right. Guys, what do you guys have to say about all this? JP, what do you think about this Ruckus Robbie match and Blackout in general? Are you a fan of Blackout?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. My first introduction to Blackout was that viral clip with Human Tornado at CZW with the drop to hold. I forgot the girl's name in that video.
Chrissy Rivera.
Right. I remember seeing that on YouTube, and that just was probably one of the most viral clips being in high school. If you were an independent wrestling fan, that was probably one of the most, you know, viral clips, I'd say, aside from just watching anything from like PWG or Ring of Honor. But Blackout, just in general, all, you know, all aside, they, you know, put in some work over there. I kind of wish, you know, you guys mixed it up. You know, I feel like when you guys were on your way out, they were kind of just on the come up, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Phil, what do you think about Ruckus?
I mean, I've known Ruckus for a long, long, long time, even before he got associated in pro wrestling. And to see, you know, the name recognition he has, how familiar everybody is with him, to see that he's still going strong is awesome. But this isn't just a celebration of Robbie and Ruckus, because they mean business. For them to issue an open challenge like this, that means they're coming for a fight, and they're coming for whoever steps in their way, because they want to make a point.
Right. Absolutely. And we're going to announce the third stage of death soon, everybody. Don't forget about that, by the way. But yeah, thank you, Phil, for that insight. And don't forget, guys, we are wrestling Ruckus, Robbie, and a new member of Blackout this Saturday at the arena. And tickets are discounted right now. We're also going to be at the barbecue. This is a pretty big event. You see all the big names on the event. But here's why I'm showing it. Ruckus's 150th match at the arena will be this Saturday night against us. So the Blackout brand goes head-to-head with the Backseat brand at the arena in Philly just months before SPO debuts, reopens in Philly. And that's all this Saturday night, man. I can't wait. What's going to happen on his 150th match? What do you guys think? Let me get a prediction. Is he going to win or lose, guys?
Oh, they're going to lose.
You know, I'm going for a win. Typically speaking, I would always bet on Black, as they would say, but being that, you know, it's Backseat's first Blackout, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, put my bias towards Blackout aside, and, you know, I'm going to have to say it could be a 50-50 split evenly.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I always thought, Johnny, honestly, and you would know better than me, but like...
Go ahead, Donnie.
When the people talk about like Red and Homicide and Low Key and Reckless, I always thought Ruckus's name deserved to be in that same breath. Like when you'd say like guys from the late 90s, early 2000s, you'd rattle off all those guys, whether it's Nova, Ace Darling, and, you know, Cheetah Mask, all those guys. I always thought Ruckus's name should have been mentioned more. I know he was like a Philly guy, but he was all over the place, man. And I would love to see him sort of take his place. Maybe it's because he never left, really. You can't miss something when it doesn't go away. So maybe just because kind of he was always around. But I just always thought that guy deserved a bigger platform. You know, I really do. I wish people would mention his name more with those elites that I spoke about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donnie, the mm-hmm. thing you sent me about Cheetah Master, where is that? On the text?
I think it was in a text.
All right, I'm trying to find it. I'm sorry. I should have had it queued up.
No, let me find it. That's fine.
I'm trying to find it for you. But guys, before we real quick, before we bring Simon on here in a few minutes, I just want to say you can train. I am picking up students. We do Wednesday nights down at Skid Row Academy. So if you want to train with me, check it out. You can be part of the SPO school. And I don't know, guys, did you notice I'm down the shore? Okay, I'm at the Jersey Shore. I'm still shrouded. I'm still in a season of death. But what are the odds that right behind me is Mount Rushmore, right? And then what is the odds? I go online today and I see this. Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer is using Mount Rushmore to push it, brothers. I love it. Mount Rushmore is so over in wrestling all of a sudden. Speaking of over in wrestling, everyone, we got new silvers. I'm going to show them. These are brand new silvers with the brand new exclusive Backseat Boys logo on the back. That's the street sign Backseat logo made for us by Canon back in probably 2001 that we have updated. And there's me in my new silvers. So there you go. We are all silvered up.
Shiny.
Yes, we are. And before speaking of silver, we know that your first stage in your three stages of death match is First Blood. We know the second stage is Silver Slaughter Circus. Anything painted silver can be used. You guys, are you ready? We know the third stage. Let's announce it right now without any further ado. You guys ready?
Let's do it up.
Last man standing. Wow. Are you you got to read it like a storybook. It's like chapters in a book. It makes sense when you look at the whole thing, doesn't it? First Blood.
This is some interesting type of match. I don't think I've ever seen a tag team last man standing match before. Have you guys?
I'm not sure. But the thing that the question mark is the belts. We have to get to the bottom of this. We have to talk to Violent J. Donnie has a great, I didn't even think about that. We have to find out if whoever wins those belts is going on the tour. And if that's the case, I'd say you guys need to make your decision by next Tuesday, the latest on our Taking It Home edition, our extra long edition next week. I think you guys need to make the decision by then.
Yeah.
If you're going to put your titles on the line. And if you're putting your titles on the line, they're putting their titles on the line. This is going to change the whole dynamic of this match, guys. The sooner you make the decision, the better, because you have more time to mentally prepare, is my advice.
But so go back to what you just said. It's, you know, title versus title. You know, and like Donnie said, you know, it's the added stipulation of the tour, because, you know, why would Jay book us if we're without the belts? So it's right. We're really betting, you know, we're doubling down our bet essentially just to recoup. So strategically thinking, we're already going into this, you know, knowing that this is, you know, there's no way to recover from this, you know. So I think maybe we do take a little bit more time to consider
what we're
getting ourselves into, especially given.
Take some time to think about it. In the meantime, you had a chance to catch up with Simon Gotch, and he got to actually try Fago for the first time. So this match that you guys have coming up with the rep, okay, this match with the rep where your tour of JCW is on the line. This is what happens in the back of JCW. Watch this, everybody.
I'm Simon Gotch.
And I'm Tommy Grayson.
And this is my first time trying Fago. I'm here at the JCW Lunacy, and I'm going to try some Fago for the first time. Whoop, whoop.
It's Detroit's brand of soft drink.
Well, I know what Fago is.
Okay.
I'm simply saying that I've never had
it. You've never had it.
I've never consumed any Fago.
All right. Well, we got to let the people know. What up?
Drug the lows.
You got a shiny
everyone,
brand, but where's
this
your
is
title,
Simon Gotch's first time ever trying Fago.
Or grape, if you like grape better.
I can go with red. I do enjoy a nice, delicious strawberry.
Cheers it up.
Nice. Achayim?
Right.
What's your Barstool rating out of 10?
So it's fascinating. It's actually very reminiscent of actually Red Bull, the original formula of Red Bull. And then you have a little bit more of a strawberry tinge to it, which is actually it's very unique. So I would say this is a quality beverage. I don't generally rate beverages. I usually I send those jobs out to my good friend Jeff Cannonball. He's the beverage guy.
That's right.
But I would say this is a solid 10 out of 10 of the Fagos I've drank.
10 out of 10.
We'll give it a
10 out of 10, y'all. Woo, woo.
Where are your title at?
There it is. So that's what it's like hanging out at a Juggalo event on tour. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get him in here. Simon Gotch. What's up, brother?
Oh, there could be a little bit of ado. I mean, we don't need to cut all the ado. There could be some ado.
Agreed.
You deserve all the ado.
I definitely have had ado throughout the course of my career. If anything, ado is the one way to describe it.
That's over. So tell us live right now, how was Fago for real? Off.
Well, you know how it was. I will say this. Violent J was very nice. He paid me very well. He took good care of me, and that is what I have to say about it. So Fago, if that is a brand that ICP supports, then I have nothing but positive things to say about it.
So he paid you. So if so, Fago, you liked Fago.
Well, here's what you have to remember. All right, this is in any industry, honesty is your enemy, especially wrestling. And take that from someone who's overly. someone who's overly honest. I one of my favorite quotes I like to reach out to a lot is The Simpsons. Their ancillary for Mike Tyson was a guy named Dredrick Tatum. And there's an episode where he's asked to endorse a sneaker, and he gets up on stage and says, "Thank you for paying me to endorse this butt ugly shoe." And everyone starts booing him, and his response is, "My forthrightness is always my undoing." So I've learned at 40, almost 42 years old, I'll be 42 in October, is that stop being so honest. Because I could be lying. I could think Faygo is terrible, or I could think it's wonderful. But I know if I say anything other than wonderful, that's not good. So,
right. I actually like it. I'll be honest with you. I drank like three of those things. They're good, man. You take one sip before you know it, the whole thing's gone. So I actually enjoyed it.
Yep.
I feel I grew up poor, so I feel like any soda, like I'm okay with it. It has to be genuinely terrible for me to hate it, like cheer wine. That's pretty much the one I'll say that's terrible.
Mm.
I think I just killed
it. How could you, sir?
Hey, look, I'm not a Mid-Atlantic guy, not for wrestling, not for soda. So I'm not a cheer wine guy. I'm sorry.
Mm. So before we jump into you, I want to show people real quick your gimmick in Lunacy, in JCW. We talked about it last week. I think it's brilliant. You come out with the headpiece and make the guy wear it for his own protection. I think it's awesome. I love this version of you as a shooter. This is like the whole match. I don't want to show the whole match, but we're going to just jump through and show a little bit of it, and then we can come back to it. So this was the tapings in Detroit 2 weeks ago, everybody. That ring canvas. Dude, watch this again.
Oh my God.
So I don't know why. I genuinely don't know the reason, but whenever I do a fallaway slam, and I think I'm the only one who does this, I actually come up off my feet, and there's like a second where I'm floating in the air when I throw the guy. I have no idea why I do it. It happens.
Explosive.
It's all the hip thrusters I do at the gym. That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My back feels better because of your hip thrusters. Good stuff. But, Gotch, I got to tell you, I love the gimmick, bro. I like that singlet on you. I like, and I'm the biggest fan of the Vaudevillains of all time. But this gimmick that you're doing, I think it's believable as hell, and the crowd liked it, and it worked. So good shit.
Well, thank you. It was actually 99% of that was Jay's idea. He told me that was what he wanted, so I was like, that's what we're going with. The only thing I came up with was the headgear thing, because initially he wanted me to wear it, so I get the headgear, and I go to put it on, and I realize, like an idiot, I bought black headgear. I have black hair. So when I tried it on, I was like, it just looks like I have like the Princess Leia buns on the side of my head. It doesn't look like a headgear. So I was like, this is going to look awful if I put this on in a match. And I was trying to, but I didn't want to, you know, not use the headgear. So I had to come up with a reason to have it. I was like, what if I make the other guy wear it? And it's such an insult because like almost 23 years, it'll be 23 years in August that I've been wrestling, I've never suffered cauliflower ear.
Wow.
And that's even before that was doing martial arts when I was junior high and high school, doing jiu-jitsu and stuff as an adult. I've just never had a cauliflower ear. And what was explained to me once was that apparently my ears are so big naturally that it's hard to crush enough of the cartilage where the blood can't drain. Because you have to like crush the cartilage, but it's got to make like a blockage, right? Mm-hmm. My ears are so big that even if you crush the cartilage, there's always space for it to get around. So that was apparently the reason my ears were never cauliflower. So, but there's this almost this implied insult of I don't need the headgear, you do. So, everyone seemed to like it. So I was like, okay, well, we'll just stick with this. It works.
Hell yeah, it does. Yeah. Donnie B, I know you're like me. You're a tag team guy, tag team fan, and I know you want to talk to Simon. I'm going to let you sort of take over a little bit, brother. I've talked enough.
Simon, I was always a big fan. I know we never met. I don't know if you know my brother. Do you know Nova, Simon Dean?
Oh, yeah. No, I know Nova.
That's my brother. But we were both huge fans of yours, man. We still are.
I actually – I did several camps before I moved out to Missouri to work for Harley. I did several of his camps, and Nova was actually one of the agents that WWE sent one of the years as a representative. And it was funny because I asked him the same question 2 days in a row, and he gave me two completely different answers. And I was like, what a worker. Just giving me all angles. Doesn't care.
No, but well, I'm a huge fan, bro. The very first time I saw the Vaudevillains, what I enjoyed most about it was completely different. And I mean, you can speak to this, but I think your best chance of getting onto a main roster, any kind of television at all, is to stand out and be different. So whose idea was the Vaudevillains, and who was responsible for the production of those vignettes?
Well, technically the idea was Triple H's. What had happened was I was doing the gimmick independent of NXT. I had in 2010, late 2010, I started doing the gimmick, but my version of it was just, I referred to myself as the well-mustachioed Gotch stylist. I was wrestling in trunks, but they had I specifically put the Black Lion on them, which, and this is going to show you how much of a dork I am. The Black Lion appears on the flag of Flanders, which is Belgium. That's Belgian flag. And that was where Carl Gotch was from. So because I had this interest in like catch wrestling, I was reading a lot of the stuff Jake Shannon was putting out at the time. If you've ever seen scientificwrestling.com, that's Jake. And I just had this fascination. I wanted to do something like that. I was really into Minoru Suzuki and Shibata. This is like, again, 2000. I started watching these guys like really intently, like 2008. So 2010 rolls around. I'd grown the mustache out and I wanted to do this gimmick. And that was my initial version of it. I wound up having a conversation with William Regal. He wanted to see more of the strongman stuff, like more of the carnival stuff. And I changed it up to that, got signed. And Matt, Aiden English at the time, was doing just his standard bit, but he dipped in and out of the tag team pool with a guy named Max Brower, who was a indie wrestler from, he's one of Kowalski's guys. Mm-hmm. Max wound up suffering a neck injury. He had to retire, but at the time, they were doing a tag team called the Lincoln Fight Club, where it was a similar idea to what the Vaudevillains would wind up being. And basically, over the course of like 3 months, we kept getting told we were going to be put together, and they never did anything with it. And I think finally there was one night we were going to do a promo together, like finally just sort of see if we could get something on film. And that day was when Matt's now wife, Shawl Guerrero, got released. So Matt didn't come into promo class that night. And it was one of those like, God damn it. You know, we're trying so hard to just get anything on film we can. And the first time we have a real opportunity to do it, there's like a tragedy that we can't avoid. So what winds up happening is Triple H at one point apparently just told them, put these guys together, see if there's anything. We had a total of about, I want to say, 10 days preparation before we were on TV. Mm. So the tag team name was Matt's idea. The finisher and a couple of the signature things we were doing were my ideas. Like I came up with the neck breaker, or the reverse European neck breaker combo. I stole the Swanton Finley roll from the Young Bucks. And then Max used to do the double arm ringer, a double punch, the Dukes up. So we put that together. That was what we had. Then we had, I think it was two practice matches in the PC, two house show matches, and then we were on TV. And wow. The day at TV, we got entrance music. We had to figure out an entrance, and we debuted. So we had no preparation. And then all the production stuff, all the interviews, all the vignettes, everything, that was done later. Though our entrance video with Ryan Katz, he's the carnival barker, that was all Katz. No one asked him to do that. He filmed it on his own because he understood the gimmick, and he was like, let me do something here. The downside of that was I think people interpreted it as him wanting to be in the gimmick. And it was like, no, I just, you know, I believe in this and I want to be good. So I put effort in and, you know, that's that.
Yeah, no, I understand. Wow. I loved it, man. Hats off to all you guys for the way you did it. What was so cool about it is the authenticity that you brought to it. And it was realistic. It was campy, but cool. You know what I mean? It just looked so good and polished, and I thought it was a $1 million act the first time I saw it, man. And I still think to this day, like, had you guys given a true fair shake on the main roster, there's zero reason that you guys couldn't still be there or still have excelled. There's a million teams that have come and gone, and you guys were just as good as any of them, in my opinion.
Well, it's the nature of wrestling, though, is that it's not necessarily about your ability. There are two things that you touched on that I just want to point out. I have a litmus test for gimmicks, for characters, for anything you do in wrestling. I always say you have to answer one question for me. It's a very simple question. Why is it in wrestling? Now, I don't care what your reason is. I just want a reason. And a lot of the time you'll get people come up with a gimmick idea, and and there are exceptions. There are always exceptions where something makes no sense, but it works. And I attribute that to like the whole, you know, it's a balancing act between emotional investment and suspension of disbelief. The more you ask me to suspend disbelief, the harder it is for me to invest emotionally. But if I'm invested emotionally, then I'm more willing to suspend my disbelief. You look at something like the Wyatt family, which on paper is ridiculous. Like if I, like my first question is like, okay, so he's a cult leader. Why is he not at his compound in, you know, rural Florida? Why is he on a professional wrestling show? That doesn't make any sense to me. But it worked because Wyndham was extremely talented and carried it. So even though it didn't make much sense, no one questioned it because they were able to invest emotionally in his talent. Conversely, you'll see something like, and I love Kurt to death, Fandango, as a gimmick, made no sense. There was no justifiable reason for why. He's a ballroom dancer. Okay, why the hell is he in wrestling? And it's such a shame because Kurt as a wrestler is so talented and so capable. And he is just the funniest guy. He's handsome as all hell. He was, especially back then, he was like way more jacked. He's leaned out over the years, but he was just this beef castle. Like you go back and watch him like when he was in NXT and it was amazing. And it just seemed like such a nonsensical gimmick. It was just like, oh, well, this would be funny. It's like, okay, but does it make sense? Why is he in wrestling? Mm-hmm. And I thought the gimmick with the vaudevillains was it was an easy justification for why we were there. We were a carnival act. When was the last time you saw a carnival? Like, it's that simple. And what's a bigger carnival than professional wrestling? You know?
You need to get booked, brother.
Yeah, exactly. It's as little as that is all I need. So that, to me, is the biggest deal. And I think that's why it worked to the degree it did. But the other part of it is, and as you know in wrestling, it's not necessarily about how good you are at your job. It's understanding what your job actually is. I thought my job was to wrestle. And some people say, well, your job's to get over. No, your job is to build advocates.
Yes.
In any company, like, and because sometimes people ask, you know, why was it I got released and then Matt was there for 2 more years? And my theory on that, and I don't have any proof of this, it was just a theory, was Dean Malenko. Because Dean's obviously was best friends with Eddie. Matt's married to Eddie's daughter. Dean's going to speak up for Matt. I'm not a social person. I have a lot of like issues with socializing, so I'm not really good at that. And I always thought that to a certain degree that Dean spoke up for Matt, and that was why the company was willing to give him more of a chance. And if you notice, when Dean got released as an agent, that's when they released Matt. Like I said, this could all just be coincidence, but it was something that always was in the back of my head. Like, that's really the issue. I've told this story before, but there was a night where Baron Corbin, I don't remember what happened. Something happened in a match with Kalisto, and Vince McMahon was furious. And he was ready to fire Corbin on the spot. And the only reason Tom did not get fired, the only reason Baron Corbin didn't get fired, was because JBL spoke up for him. And several weeks earlier, I was in Gorilla before the show. Like, this is before the tapings even started. Everyone's just sitting around talking. And Tom is very patiently sitting there and asking JBL questions about his matches with Eddie Guerrero. And it struck me, I was like, that's why he was doing it, was he was making an advocate.
Yep.
So when really? Vince gets mad, because Tom can't go to Vince and say, look, you know, I did what I, this happened. I'm sorry. It was, you know, I obviously it wasn't my intention. And then argue for himself. But JBL can go in there and go, hey, Vince, you know, this kid, he's got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of size. I don't think we should get rid of him. He made a mistake. Let's have this be a learning experience. And because I never did that. I was never that guy. I'm not I'm very sort of off to the side and weird. So no one's speaking up for me. I mean, the closest thing I had to an advocate at the time was Adam Pearce, and Adam had just gotten called up as an agent. It's like, I fully understand, because I have known Adam for like 20 years, but I very specifically worked shows with Adam in 2011, 2012, in the Kansas City area, right when his contract had gotten rescinded, when WWE initially was going to sign him as talent. And I remember him telling me the story. He was like, I was ready to move. Like, I quit my job, ready to move down to Florida, when I got a call from, I think it was Ty Bailey at the time, who told him, we feel at your advanced age, we will not recoup our investment. He He got told that at 31. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like that. Like, and the weird thing is, you know, 3 years later, they're hiring, you know, Finn Balor at like 35.
Yeah.
So it's this whole thing, like the wind's always changing. But I fully understood, like, Adam was not going to put his neck out for me. And I don't fault him for that. I think he made the right decision. And he's in a great place now, and that's awesome. So, but I never made advocates, and that was really like 50% of my job, if not more.
That's interesting. I never heard that before. But real quick, I want to just mention Gotch. Everyone, you can follow Simon Gotch on Instagram at GotchStyleWWE, and you can follow him on X at DeviousJourney. So check that out. And that way, if any promoters want to book him, get him on your show. He's got a closet full of gimmicks now that he can choose from. If you need him to work twice and do the old South Sincere Patriot gimmick, I think he can even do that. But yeah, brother, I just wanted to say I like that about the advocate. I'm going to steal it. You're going to hear me preaching that at parties now. Real quick, let's show a little bit more of your match because I think this is just a cool visual spectacle.
Explosive power!
Poor dude.
KJ, you're not doing so good.
Listen to the crowd yelling at him.
Get him, Simon. Jeez. Get balls like a sack of potatoes.
There it is.
Oh, my God, Simon.
Some open-handed smacks there to the neck. Jeez, man, you mauled that dude, bro.
That's what I was asked to do. Yeah.
I gotta say, you mentioned something about it being 10 years since Vaudevillains debuted, which blew my mind because I watched your debut and it did not feel like 10 years ago. Let me ask you this. When you go from NXT to WWE and you make your debut on Raw, and I remember watching you guys debut, is there butterflies or is it another night at the office?
I think there's inherently an excitement to it because there's the possibility of what's going to happen, of how far you're going to go and how big this could be. And you try to stay positive. But there's also that kind of like, when you start seeing where your trajectory is, it is kind of hard to stay excited. It doesn't help that we were given no time to prepare. Again, I've told the story a few times where what had happened was WrestleMania week, like in Dallas, we got told randomly that we needed to talk to Mark Carano, who at the time was in talent relations, while we were there. And Matt looked at me and he went, what do you think it is? And I said, well, we're either getting called up or fired because there are only two reasons Carano would talk to us. And we were initially supposed to be on or meet him at like 7 a.m, which was terrible because I was part of Triple H's entrance for Mania. So I was at the stadium in Dallas until like 3:30 a.m. And then it was like another hour drive back to the hotel. So I get in, I think I got to my bed at just about 5 a.m. So I lay down for the 2 hours I was going to get to sleep, or I guess hour and a half. And I get a text from Carano that says, hey, I'll talk to you guys at the show. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like, I can at least sleep. I'm going to lose my job. I'm at least going to lose my job with a decent amount of sleep. But what wound up happening was apparently they hadn't told Kathy in the travel department that we hadn't been told yet. So we found out we were getting called up from Kathy in the travel department because she sent our travel out. And then I guess she didn't realize the meeting had been shifted. And she had to ask Mark if it was okay for her to tell us we were getting called up. So she told us that, and then we got told we would talk to Mark at the show. And that I think that level of apathy towards our future by the company was very telling of where we were going.
Wow. That's crazy. And thank you. I didn't even mean for you to get into all that, but I just, you know, when I watched your debut, I remember like, back in the 90s, when a guy would jump from WWE to WCW, it was a big deal. That was like the biggest thing on our radar was a jump, you know? And even though NXT was still WWE, when you guys made that jump, you were one of the first. There were a few others that did it. It really kind of felt neat. like it felt like a Nitro guy showing up on WWE, even though it was the draft and all that. And it still felt neat and it was special. And you guys doing that entrance with the black and white on the Tron and then coming out and stuff. Like I still remember where I was watching, you know? So the tag team ingenuity of the entrance affected me that I'll never forget where I was when I saw it for the first time. So to get to know you and meet you and listen to the things you're saying and, you know, the whole thing you said about in the business, you want to help people. Do you remember, can you say that on here real quick to make sure that I quoted you right?
I will tell the story just so you have context for it. When I was training in California at a place called Pro Wrestling Iron, Mike Modest and Donovan Morgan, if you've ever seen, you know, Mike, Donovan was another APW guy at the time. Mm-hmm. They'd formed their own school while they were working for Pro Wrestling Noah. And I would always stay late. That was why they liked me, because I had a 90-minute drive each way. I lived 86 miles from the school, so I'd have to drive 86 miles in, drive 86 miles home. And you know the guys with the longest drive are the ones who never want to leave because they're dreading the drive. Like, especially when you're younger, like, I just don't want to do the drive, so I'm going to stay here as late as possible until I have to leave. So after training, Donovan's got a couple drinks in him, and he just goes, "Hey, man, can you take me up to the taco stand on the corner?" Yeah, no problem. I drive him up there, and we're sitting outside. He's having a taco, and he just looks at me and goes, "This is a fucked up business, and the only way you will ever get out of it feeling clean is if you help people." And that always stuck with me. And to this day, I try to make it a point whenever someone has a question, I try to answer it as best I can. Whenever someone wants like advice on something, I try to really like, I always say I don't give advice, I give feedback. Because advice is very general and is more often than not about a power dynamic than it is about actually, you know, helping someone get better. Because every young wrestler has gotten this from at least one old vet, which is, and Donnie, I guarantee you've heard this before. Next time you're putting heat on a guy and you're about to punch him, just stop and look at the crowd.
Yeah.
See what happens. And it's always that, like, and if you do it and it gets completely shat on, they'll look at you like, "Oh man, see, the problem is you're just playing out there. You ain't working. That's your problem."
Yeah. No, you're right. 1,000%.
A lot of generalities, a lot of like, you're trying, but you're not really doing. But they don't give explanation of what they mean. And my whole thing is I will over explain. And if I say something and anyone's ever gotten a match review from me, I always finish it the same way. If you have any questions about anything I've said, anything you don't understand, anything you want more of a clarification on, ask me. Question what I've said. If something I've said to you doesn't make sense and you think I'm crazy, please question it. Question it to me so I can, because sometimes I've thought so far ahead on what I'm talking about that I forget how to explain it well, or I forget my reasoning behind it. And then you ask me and I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's why I do that." And yeah. I figure it out for myself. And then I know for next time, if someone says, "Hey, why do you do this?" I go, "This is why."
I definitely felt that pain, brother. Speaking of, look at this picture.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. That's one of my favorite pictures. Look at the face on JP. This is Gotch giving like an abdominal stretch type gimmick to JP in the hotel. We were on like an indoor balcony. Have you guys seen these indoor balconies at hotels? They're hysterical.
Right by the airport.
Oh yeah.
That was crazy, man. That was just crazy.
Now for the record, I was legitimately adjusting his back. That wasn't just me putting him in a hole. That was for medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Yes,
but
yeah.
Like we showed early additional
back, like he went like this, and it like the last twerk, it just like popped. It was like just
the last twerk.
You heard a pop. It was actually disgusting.
Yeah,
that is great.
Those are the best ones.
You got to be a chiropractor as a gimmick. Honestly, I think that should be.
It sounded like dried pasta is being broken.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Simon, where can Johnny, yo go
I
ahead
say real quick just two quick things. You were talking about their debut and we talked about the vignettes and this and that. The very first time I saw Toni Storm stuff when she started doing the Hollywood starlet gimmick, I automatically thought of the vaudevillains, and I remember all these people making such a ballyhoo out of it, like, "Oh, this is so innovative, so creative." I'm like, "These motherfuckers were doing this 10 years ago. It was the first and only time I'd ever seen it. I just love to see more people do fresh and creative stuff like that. And second point, when you were talking about the advocates, I just started laughing to myself and I just text Nova. When he was in charge of developmental and talent relations, he was there for a while. He told me that certain parts of the year, there are certain times of the year that they would have the cuts, and he would always know they were coming up because 2 or 3 days beforehand, he would start getting calls from some of the vultures, some of the other talent agents, and say, hey, what do you think of this guy, that guy? Just trying to put a little bug in his ear or put somebody over in case Mike had any kind of staying power, could help somebody out with one of their boys. When you talk about JBL or Dean Malenko, mm-hmm. that is 1,000% true. I have stories that I will not tell where people legitimately called Mike and called Nova and said, hey, do what you can to make sure so-and-so is not cut. He's on the name would be on a list to call this person today and cut them. And Mike would get 3 or 4 phone calls from either top or mid-level guys and say, yeah, don't call so-and-so. He's not getting cut. I'm telling you, he's not getting cut. And then 2-3 hours later, like, that name would magically vanish off a list. So you're 1,000,000,000% right, my friend.
Wrestling is a social business. I mean, and really every industry is social. We tend to not think about it this way, but one of the biggest lies you get told in life is that it's about hard work and dedication. Hard work and dedication really only matter if people like you. All personal opinions of him aside, there's something Austin Aries said that was pretty accurate. He had said, people tell you you can make friends or make money in wrestling, but if you don't make the right friends, you're not going to be allowed to make money.
Bingo. That's great. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
Yeah. But it's the truth is that, and it's not even just wrestling. It's every industry. It's every, like, people will look at wrestling and oftentimes pick apart the negatives of the way the industry's run and things that happen in it. But the same stuff happens in every business. It's just with wrestling, we're so predisposed to understanding everyone is a carny, everyone is a thief, everyone is a liar, that when we hear these stories, we just talk about them. Like, if you work in a hospital, you're not going to talk about, you know, publicly about the doctor who slept with every nurse on the floor. You're not going to talk about that because you don't want to, you know, because again, it's like, it's not seen as socially acceptable. So no one wants to ever speak of that, even if everyone knows it's happening. But in wrestling, guys will brag about doing horrible things. I mean,
you're right.
Like, what was it? The old story about the Dynamite Kid trying to shoot up the enhancement guy with a syringe full of air, which would have killed him. I think it was Bad News Brown had to step in and be like, no, you're going to kill this kid. Don't do this. But it was like, right. And wrestlers will brag about this stuff. Like, we'll do the worst things in the world, and then we'll go and like, oh yeah, no man, it was the funniest thing ever. We set this guy on fire and threw him into a wall. It's like, and like, that was it. Mm-mm. Just set him on fire, threw him into a wall. Why?
What is it that Raven and Jericho say? The business is full of gypsies, thieves, and tramps. I think I've heard him say that a million times.
Oh, the Bray Wyatt. He'd always say, it's a pirate business. We're all pirates. That's what we love, the pirate lifestyle. That's what we do it.
Mm.
We just want to drink rum and travel around the world, and that's it. That's what we want.
It's true.
That's a good way to look at it.
Dude, I'm so glad you came on here, Simon. I feel like we could have you on here for another hour and barely scratch the surface. You have a lot of wisdom, a lot of stuff. You're welcome on here anytime.
Definitely.
Anytime you want.
That's the downside of ever interviewing me, is that I will talk forever.
No, it's very informative, dude. Yeah.
Makes our lives easier too. Sometimes you got to pull it out of people. With you, it's like you came on here prepared. You're taking it serious. You're a professional. This is awesome. So thank you.
No one can see this right now, but there is a note still here that says, Phil, take over with the next question. And Phil is not a fucking word. This started.
Phil, I never got a chance at all the questions I was going to ask for coming out. I was trying to think of something like when you transitioned from the WWE to independent work, like, some people have said, you know, that's hard. You were just on television and now you're on the indies. How did you make that transition for yourself and made it work? And I think you've made it work because you've gone on and done MLW and TNA and Pro Wrestling Noah. And like, you've continued and you're doing things and you're continually improving and changing. I just haven't stopped. Like,
for me, so this was something I picked up again. I like to listen to a lot of people. I always say, listen to everyone and then figure out what's good. Because you'll be surprised. You'll get the best wisdom from the stupidest people, but you just have to listen and know they might say 900 things that are dumb, but if they say one smart thing, okay, I got the one smart thing. Joe Mantegna, he was on the Mark Maron podcast, and he made a point about how he's like, I view acting as a blue collar job. He's like, I don't see myself as a celebrity. It's a blue collar job to me. You book me in a movie. I show up, I read my lines, I do my scenes, I go home. He's like, I've shot 5 movies in Italy that I've never, I've watched 2 of them. You know, it's that sort of thing where he treats it like work. And I do the same thing with wrestling. Is that like I was never in the mode of, oh, I've been released, I'm this big star, I should be, you know, I should be main eventing every show I'm on. I'm like, book me where you want to book me. You're paying me to do whatever you're paying me to do. Like people, I've had people who are like uncomfortable asking me to lose. And I'm just like, You're paying me. This is my job. What, why would, if I worked at McDonald's and you came in and said like, hey, I want a Big Mac, no onions. I'm not going to look over the counter and go, no. You're getting onions. Okay. That's how we do this. But again, if people want me to do something, if people pay me to do it, I do what I'm paid to do. Though I always say it's a testament. I'm not good at putting myself over, but I will say it's a testament to my skill as a professional wrestler that I've gotten to go to the places I have, WWE, Japan. Whoa, we got a terrorist. Hang on. I'll be right back.
This is great. Oh man. Well, we knew just from hanging out with him that it was going to be like this. So what?
Okay. Well, sorry about that. Okay. You can't control the animals. But no, my whole point was that I've been to, you know, going to NOAH, going to TNA, doing Ring of Honor, I've done all this other stuff. And I would say it's a testament to my actual ability, my skill as a professional wrestler, because you're not going to book me because I've got a crazy physique. I'm not a body guy. I'm not someone, while I'm very verbose and I can talk and I can cut a promo, I'm just not someone who likes to do them. It's just not something I care about. So I'm not known as a promo guy. I'm not the most social person in the world. So you're not going to book me because I'm your friend. So when I get booked, it's 100% because I'm a good wrestler. That's the only reason anyone books me. Or because they like the gimmick. But it's just this, my mentality has always been, again, I said, it's my job. So it's what I do. I wake up and I go to work. But there are guys who, you know, they get released and they have these demands and they'll be like, you know, I need a first class ticket and I need this. And I'm like,
course,
just don't book me on Spirit if you can. Just avoid. Don't book me on Spirit. Don't book me on Frontier, and I'll be happy. You can put me in the Roach Motel.
Yo, I got news for you. You're entering very close to friendship territory with the Backseat World.
No,
you're kind of becoming our friend almost. I hate to say it.
Well, again, that's careful. I thought that I don't have friends. Actually, I will tell you a fun story. When we were on the main roster, like when we had just gotten called up, so we'd maybe been there a week or two. Brian Danielson came up to me. And again, I trained with Brian for 9 months in 2002, from January to the end of July. So I guess 8 months. But that was right when he started with New Japan. So he comes. So again, I've known him 22 years, whatever it is at this point. He comes up to me and he's like, hey, I'm real sorry, but I accidentally buried you to the office. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, they were asking me about you because they know you trained with me, and I was trying to put you over. I was like, yeah, no, he's done it all on his own. He's never like asked for favors. He doesn't call people and ask me to get him booked. He's like, all his bookings, all his stuff, it's always been him. And he said, and they took that as no one likes you. And I went, ah, shit. Well, I guess thank you for trying. But it does speak to, but it speaks to the way that the wrestling industry is. That's in that, great. If people want to like you, they will find a reason to like you. And if people want to hate you, they'll find a reason to hate you. And the information is almost germane. It doesn't matter. And again, you like, Johnny, have you told the story about when you came up to say hi to us, before the Battleground show
at the, yeah.
Yeah. So that wasn't bullshit. When we did the promo in the ring that night, that was the truth. I legitimately was a deathmatch ghoul when I was in high school. I loved Cactus Jack and Sabu, and I would watch CZW tapes, and I would see, you know, Best of the Best, and I think it was Best of the Best 2002 was the one I had, which was the one where it was weird, where like Winger came out, and then like one time you came out dressed as Winger, and then somebody else came out dressed as Winger, and then Winger came out again. It was all weird. But I told the story about watching Johnny do the tag match with him and Justice Payne against what was it? It was Mondo and Jun Kasai. And that was legit. That was a real, I watched that match and I was blown away by it. And for years, if you asked me what one of my favorite promos was, I would always say Johnny Cashmere before that on F Unbelievable match, because it wasn't a wrestling promo in the way that we're so used to, you know, the, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to beat you pillar to post. And that's one of the reasons I hate promos. I have a little side tangent on that I'll get into after this, but I saw that and I was like, it's a guy being genuine and saying, look, I got to do this for me. If you don't believe in me, cool. I believe in myself. I'm going to do it anyway. And I was like, that's different. And that actually, it hits you like, this wasn't Johnny cutting a promo trying to get over. This was Johnny speaking from the heart about what he's about to go through. And I think that's so much easier to emotionally invest in because it feels real. Even if it isn't real, it could be complete bullshit. And as long as it feels real, people can invest emotionally in it. There was a kid in Missouri. I did some loops for a friend down there, my buddy John. And this kid's telling me, he's like, oh, well, I'm really good at promos. And again, I like to help. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see one of your promos. He shows me the video. And it is every single 80s and 90s promo cliche you have ever heard. Every, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to show you that I'm the toughest man in the world and I'm going to beat you around the ring and I'm going to have you running like a scalded dog, and every single one of these cliches. And I said, that was terrible. And he thought I was ribbing it. Like, he really didn't believe me when I said that was a terrible promo. And he's like, no. I was like, no, that was really bad. I'm not joking. And it took me, I had to explain to him. I was like, everything you said in that was so fake. And I could tell it was fake. And it sounded like every other promo I've ever heard. And there was nothing genuine. And it goes back to the thing I mentioned back at the beginning. Emotional investment, suspension of disbelief. The two battling forces in every match, in every promo, in everything we do. The reason I use so much shoot stuff when I wrestle is because it's easier to invest emotionally in, because you don't have to suspend disbelief for it. When me and JP actually wrestled at the beginning of our match, we were just wrestling. Like, and it looks real. It looks believable. So the audience goes, oh, wow, these guys are really fighting. Now, anything we do after that, it's easier to invest in. But if we go out there and do, you know, tackle, drop down, hip toss, get it again, brother. They've seen that 12 times already tonight. They can't really invest emotionally in that because they don't believe it, because they know it's fake. And that's, again, the balancing act. But it's the same thing with promos. I did a promo, actually, before I wrestled a guy named Kerry Offal, who's one of my good friends. He's out in Tennessee. He's part of the Carnies. Great guy, great wrestler. I really wish we could wrestle, me and English could wrestle him and his tag partner. We've been trying to get it done for years, but no one wants to pay us all. That's the problem. Like, they want to pay the Carnies, they want to pay us, but they don't want to pay both of us. But I did a promo and I just told an honest story. And this was getting reported on news sites as a real thing. And it was like, it was an honest story, but it was still a fucking promo. I'm still gimmicking it. And I was like borderline in tears cutting this promo. Like, my eyes are getting misty and all this stuff. And people are like, oh my God, it's so emotional. And I did a seminar, and Sazzy Boatwright, who's a wrestler, she's out of New York. I asked her I was asking everyone what their favorite promo was. And she actually cited that one. I said, hey, do you want to know why I was crying in that promo? And she goes, why? And I said, I was thinking about the scene in Kick-Ass when Nicolas Cage dies. That's what I was thinking about. Because that scene
brought you to your sad place.
But yeah, but that was the thing, is that you don't need, again, it doesn't need to be the emotion. Here's what you need if you're cutting a promo. You need to know the emotion of the promo, and then you need to come up with a memory or something that allows you to attach and access that emotion to what you're saying.
Ooh.
It doesn't need to be really what you're talking about, as long as you can find the emotion. Dusty went out of pocket to bring in a guy named Howard Fine to the PC, who is an acting coach. He's a high-level acting coach. He works with Will Smith and Brad Pitt and like major players in Hollywood. Dusty went something like 10 grand out of pocket to bring him into the PC. And the whole point he made was that you don't need to kill a man to know what it feels like to kill. You just need to know what it's like to stalk the fly around your house getting ready to swat it. Because it's the same basic idea. So we attach the emotion. Again, if I want to be angry for a promo, I think of something that makes me angry and I get that sound to my voice. If I want to be happy, I got to come up with a happy I got to come up with a happy idea. Same thing. If I want to sound emotional, I need to have something that's going to reach into my guts and rip them out. And we all have those memories. And sometimes it's something artificial, like it might be a movie scene or a song, something that triggers something in you. And sometimes it might be something real where you have to access real emotions to get to it.
Yep.
And when you do that, your words now have weight. They sound less like a promo and more like you're talking, more like you're conversing, mm-hmm. more like you're expressing yourself. We're all guilty of the promo voice. If you've ever cut a wrestling promo, we've all done the promo voice at least once.
Yep.
We've all been. Mm-hmm. But the whole goal is to move away from that, because the more believable what you're saying is, it can wind up like again, with that promo where it's being reported on news sites as a real story and not as me bullshitting to sell a match.
Yeah. Like Rick Blade. When Rick Blade went out and talked to the crowd, it was like he was talking to his neighbor over the fence while he was mowing the lawn. And the people were just enthralled. Like, this man is actually speaking to us, not cutting a promo at us. Yep. And that's a big difference, you know, and we're starting to try to develop talent in SPO and have a school and stuff. So all this stuff you're talking about, this is like textbook stuff that we need to hear so we can continue to pass it on to other people to remind us. So thank you for that. For real. And unfortunately, we got to do some business here real quick. So we got to do some business, brother. You know, definitely come back.
Yeah.
Oh, please come back. And real quick, I just want to remind people again. At Gotch Style WWE on Instagram and on X, it's at Devious Journey. So you can check him out. You can book him. He's very reasonable, guys, and it's a flight out of Florida, which is some of the cheapest airfare in the country. So bring Simon Gotch to your events. Bring the backseat to that event also, and we all get along famously. So there you
That's right. That's right.
Gotch, where can we find you coming up? Anything coming up soon that you want to plug or what?
Oh, God. I don't know. I never know my schedule until the week I'm going. So
all right.
I was supposed to be in Arkansas this weekend, but the show got moved back. So so we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you,
guys. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. Donnie, thank Phil. You. It's also nice to finally actually talk to you, Phil. He's emailed me before about his list of the wrestling shows.
And, yeah.
So
yes.
It was nice meeting you, brother.
We met one time because you made fun of me for taking too long in the bathroom to shave my head.
I do make fun of people for stuff like that. That is absolutely something I do. I don't remember it, but that's, that's something I do.
Well deserved.
It was all good. It was all good. Nice.
Awesome. All right, Gotch, thank you for all your wisdom, brother. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Whoop. Guys, that was great, man. That was a runaway. It's one of those things where, you know, you just let him go. It's Gotch. He loves talking, and the stuff he says – you got to listen to it, right? It's good
Johnny,
shit.
All I kept thinking about, can you imagine how incredible the car ride and conversations would have been between him and Creature? Like, you can't get more opposite ends of the spectrum with him and Trent meeting each other and hanging out or being in a car together or wherever afterwards. Can you imagine that, dude? It would have been incredible. I think they would have wound up fighting.
Possibly.
Well, we all
and then they would have been best friends.
In...
Bro, he would have hated Trent off the bat. He would have hated Trent right off the bat. And then after they had their dust up or whatever, they would have been best friends after that. I'm telling Johnny, am I right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And me and Gotch are a lot alike, man. There's a lot of similarities between the way he thinks and the way I think. Yes. So, yeah, I could see it definitely working for sure, without a doubt, guys. But he was just great. To remind people, Veronica Kane. So check her out on Instagram at She's Hardcore. She's going to be there involved in the OnlyFans death match. It's funny that Simon Gotch talked about the last time I did a death match. And now here I am at the precipice of another death match. I'm going to have to cut a promo before the match, brother, just to appease Simon Gotch. But guys, real quick, let's talk about where we're going to be. This Sunday, we're going to be on Mammoth Show. Mammoth 6127 on TikTok. 10 a.m. we're going to be there. All right. So this weekend we have the big match against Blackout at the arena this Saturday. And then the very next morning, the season of death continues. The week of death begins. We're now 1 week away at this point from the event. And we're going to be on Mammoths. And don't forget, everybody, check out on YouTube right now. You can check out the preview and prediction show. It's on at BJ Drinks Beer 3070. So go to YouTube and type in the at sign BJ Drinks Beer 3070, all one word, and you'll find it. The unnecessary predictions and live stream with your host Danger Ginger and BJ Drinks Beer. Did you guys get to see any of this? Tommy, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was awesome, man. You know, these guys did phenomenal. And the one thing I kept thinking, you know, both BJ and Danger Ginger brought such enthusiasm to their stream. And I just kept thinking to myself, man, you know, not to put ourselves over, but it feels good that, you know, SPO Wrestling, the fans actually care, and we're not just, you know, the flavor of the month. We actually have people that are recognizable that, you know, actually are fans of what we do. And it's I'm taken aback. So I'm fans of our fans is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Good stuff. I agree. What about you, JP? We haven't heard from you.
Yeah, oh, JP.
Go ahead, Donnie.
No. I was going to agree with what Tommy just said.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch their show. I didn't watch the predictions. But I got to say, I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, we have awesome, loyal fans that go out of their way and go above and beyond for us to do things like that, like make videos of predictions. And even just, again, we're just regular people. We have, you know, I work a 9-to-5, you know, it's, I just find it crazy how, you know, we have just awesome people, awesome fans that really care about us and generally want to see us succeed and do good. And it means a lot.
It sure does.
You know, guys, you know you're onto something good, and I bet you Phil would agree with me on this. When you create something that creates its own ecosystem around it, in other words, you're growing the tree and the limbs are growing, and these people are creating their whole infrastructure around that, like talk shows or preview shows, and they're doing it off of the genesis of Spo Wrestling, that's when you know you're onto something good, man. Like I said, you're creating a whole biosphere. And in that biosphere are all the people that you are cultivating and the things that you're growing. They're all in there, man. So I think it's so cool, bro. And huge shout out. I saw that. I meant to text you the other day when I was on the cruise. I saw that poster. I think that is one of the coolest wrestling posters I have ever seen, dude. Who made that? Was that the I Hate Artist guy?
Yes, it was.
That was
is phenomenal, dude. If I was a young person or any person walking by a store or flipping through a magazine or whatever, and I saw that, I would read every square inch of that. That's how enticing that poster was. That is awesome. That thing is incredible, dude. Hats off to that dude.
Yeah, right. He really did awesome. Brandon Pence, I Hate Artists. That was just an awesome. Of course, I can't find it now that you mentioned it to bring it up, but I was trying to bring it up to show people. But
I saw it. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. So, yeah, guys. So next week we're taking it home already. It's already time. I just can't believe it. Like,
right.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it should already be here that fast that we're already ready for our taking it home next week. So next Tuesday, taking it home, going to try to get some special guests. That's it. It's the big one. We need to know your guys' answer if you're going to put those belts on the line and how that's all going to work. We need to know next week. Any last minute matches, it'll all be announced next week. Guys, this is going to be pretty crazy coming up. The season of death is about to end. It's about to be here. And then once UnF and Necessary happens, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump until we go back to Philadelphia, guys. And we're going to have a big announcement on that sooner rather than later. Donnie, I know you want to put up something about
We ECW can do that next week. Event. It's just about promoting shows. We'll do it next week. That's fine.
Do it next week? Okay, yeah, because we'll have time. Fine. All right, good deal. Well, you guys, thanks for being here, everybody. Check out SpoWrestling.com. Get your tickets for UnF and Necessary. It will not be live streamed. It will not be on Fight TV or Triller TV. It will not be live on YouTube. The only way you can see this event is to be in the building. I cannot reiterate that enough. You need to be in the building, and there's a reason for it. And we'll let you know soon why that is. But do not expect, I don't need to go to the show. I'll just watch it on the live stream. There will be no live stream. You do not want to miss this. Be there. Go to SpoWrestling.com. Get your tickets for July 13th. This is going to be one you're not going to want to miss. All right. So, guys, thank you all for everything. And we will see you all soon. Thank you, Simon Gotch. And promoters, book Simon. He's awesome. Yeah. Get him on your show.
Book Simon.